This morning I'll be reading the scripture from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside of the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told him that he had said these things to her. May God add his blessings to your hearing. Christ is risen. Yes, he is.
Shalom. Greetings to you. Peace from the Lord. My name is Peter. That was the name given to me by Jesus. But I don't have the best of stories to tell you to begin with. For you see, I walked with Jesus for 3 years. I used to be a fisherman. And I've at times even gone back to my fishing. But you see, as I walked with Jesus, I gave my life completely to him and to all that he was going to do. For I knew that he had come to throw off the Roman rule. I knew that he had come to establish a new kingdom, a kingdom of greatness, a kingdom of power, and a kingdom that looked to God, Adonai, alone. But as I walked with Jesus, especially that last week, first, it was that triumphal entry with all the palm branches and people laying their cloaks down upon the ground for him to walk upon as he came in on a donkey. A symbol, not of great military power, but a symbol of peace, a symbol of comfort. And as that week went on, he taught and he shared things. He was in the temple daily, sharing with folks, and as he was there, you could tell there was a bit of agitation going on with the religious leaders. For he was drawing people toward him, and that upset them. It was on that last night, when Jesus was with us in the upper room, that we were able to celebrate the Passover meal as we had done for so many years. It was on that night that he said that one of us would betray him. It was on that night that he said that I would not be able to stand with him in the days to come. And I didn't understand because my whole life was about following Jesus now. And yet, he said I would deny him 3 times. It was that night after the meal, and we had sung the hymn that we normally sing, Psalm 118, and we went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, that the soldiers came. The soldiers came, and they were led by Judas Iscariot. He was the one that would be the betrayer. He was the one that would turn Jesus over to the Roman authorities. I was not going to let that happen. I drew my sword and I tried to kill one of those soldiers. I guess you could say fortunately he moved in time and all I did was cut off his ear. And Jesus said, "Put your sword away. It is not time for that. Put it away," as he reached out to heal that soldier. Even in a time when they would come to take him. Even in a time where he knew what was going to happen, although we did not at that moment, he allowed for them to take him. I followed as closely as I could. John was there with me. And John knew the people in the courtyard. And he was able to get us in. As we took the time to be there in the courtyard, once a lady came up to me and said, "You are one of his disciples, aren't you?" And I said, "No, not me." And a little bit later, a second person came to me and said, "You're a Galilean. You're a disciple of Jesus, aren't you?" "No. Not me. I don't know that man." I could see that the soldiers were not treating him well. They were beating him. They were mocking him. They'd pressed down upon his head a thorn of crowns. And then a third time someone said to me that night, "You're one of them, aren't you?" "No, I'm not. I've never seen this man before, and I do not know him." And at that very moment, I looked up, and Jesus was looking at me. How that cut my heart so much. He had told me I would do it, and I did. I denied him 3 times. Even after telling him, "No matter what happens, I will stand with you. You are my Savior. You are my Lord." He had washed my feet and told me that I was clean. And yet I denied him. His look really hurt. It hurt so bad that I disappeared. I was gone. I couldn't stay around for what was coming next. It was horrible. And that whole next day, I stayed as hidden as I could. From time to time, I heard reports of what's going on, that they're marching Jesus back and forth, and then all of a sudden, I heard that they had taken him to that Mount Golgotha. And they nailed him to a cross. In his feet and in his wrist at 9 a.m. And around noon, it got very, very dark. And even though it was that dark, I was afraid to go. I was afraid to go and see what was going on. For people had already identified me as being with him and knowing that I was a Galilean by my accent. And then all of a sudden, the earth shook. Graves opened up and people came out of the graves and walked. And they told me that it was at that moment that Jesus had died. He had said, "It is finished. It is over. Lord, forgive them for what they have done, for they do not understand what they've done." And he died. That was the end. We really thought at that moment that that was the end. This is the one that we had followed. This is the one that we had been with for 3 years. This is the one that we put all of our hope in, and now he is dead. Let me tell you, that Saturday, all the disciples hid as much as they could. Because we really thought the Roman authorities or even the Jewish leaders would be after us. Many of us had gathered in the upper room and we just stayed as hidden as we could. I didn't even want to talk to the rest of the disciples because I had denied Christ 3 times, just as he said I would, even after I promised I would stand with him even if he died. That Saturday was very dark. All of our hope was gone. It doesn't matter that there was an earthquake. It doesn't matter that people had come back to life. It doesn't matter that great things were happening in some folks' lives at that moment. It doesn't matter because he is gone. So imagine as we got up that first Sabbath morning and Mary came and said, "His body is not there." We've gone to the tomb to finish the preparations. We have gone to the tomb to see him and to prepare his body completely for burial, and all we found was empty wrappings. Oh, John and I ran. We ran as fast as we could. John, being much younger than me, got there way before me. But John waited until I was there. He didn't go in. And as I went in to see what was happening, there it was. Empty grave clothes. There was no idea of a body had ever been there. And the piece of the cloth that was used to wrap his head had been rolled up neatly and set off to the side, and the rest of it was just sitting there. Not only is he dead, but now he's completely gone. Imagine our shock and surprise at that point. You see, Mary told us that they found the tomb open. The soldiers that were to be guard over it had all fallen asleep or fallen down. Who knows what? They were scared. And the tomb was opened when they got there already. John and myself, we went back to the rest of the disciples to tell them what we had seen, to share with them what we had experienced already. An empty tomb and empty grave clothes. Not only is Jesus dead, his body is gone now. We have no place to come and just be. Gosh, we really wanted to hide even further now. If they would not only kill him, but steal his body and carry it off. And as we're talking about all this, in comes Mary and the other ladies again. And Mary says, "We've just seen him. We've seen Jesus." And we said, "What? You've seen Jesus? They put him to death 3 days ago. What do you mean you've seen Jesus? You mean you've seen the body, right? Where did they move it to and where has it gone?" And Mary says, "Oh no, he was standing there talking to us." We just looked at him. Somebody in the background kind of whispered pretty softly, though they think they've seen him. They desire so much to see him alive again. They think they've seen him. Don't mock them, for they don't know what they're doing. These ladies love him so much and desire to see him so much that they truly believe they've seen him again. And see, Mary told us that the first time they saw him, they thought he was the gardener. And that he was the one that was in charge of the whole cemetery and all of the tombs in making sure that things were proper. And she said to him, please tell us, please tell us where you've put the body. Where have they taken it? Where has it gone? And Mary said at that moment, that was when Jesus said, Mary. And no sooner had he said her voice than she realized exactly who it was. At that moment, we weren't sure that we believed them, though. I mean, who can believe a bunch of ladies? They get confused about so many things. And this is what they wanted to see more than anything else. If Jesus had come back, why is he not here with us? Why is he not showing himself to his disciples? Yes, we know that he raised Lazarus from the dead, and we got to eat and drink with Lazarus again and to see him. And Lazarus is still here with us. And we know of others that Jesus has healed and others that Jesus raised from the dead. But once he's dead, who raises him? And you see, all afternoon we talked amongst ourselves and the ladies continued to try to convince us that Jesus is alive. It was about supper time. As we had gathered there in that place at supper time, we were still doing the best we could to stay hidden. The doors were locked and there was no one else there. And then all of a sudden, in the room was Jesus. He was right there with us. Now what do we say to the ladies? He held out his hands. And he showed us the wounds. We were able to see his feet. And some were willing to reach over and touch him. And he said, do you have anything to eat? And he ate supper with us. Imagine. Jesus, who died on the cross 3 days ago, ate supper with us. He was there to share with us peace. That incredible concept of shalom. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Meaning, may the wholeness of the Lord be with you. And may you become everything that God wants you to be. That's shalom. Boy, that peace just seemed to envelop us at that moment. How incredible that was. And he says, I now breathe on you and I breathe upon you the Holy Spirit. You see, we remember some of the things that Jesus had said, but we didn't understand how they worked out. And it was still difficult in working out for us in what was going on and what was happening. We just didn't know at that moment. But the abundance of joy at that moment for what we had in our presence. Jesus Christ alive again. He has risen indeed, just as he said he would. God has victory over death. My sins and yours have been atoned for. You now can stand in the presence of God with great confidence and assurance and know that God has taken the righteousness of Jesus Christ and placed it upon you in such a way that peace can be part of your life too. Wholeness can be part of your life in who God is calling you to be. It was many years before we totally understood the message that Jesus had brought us. You see, he did completely leave us and ascend to heaven. But he told us that he had to do that so that the Holy Spirit could come and live within us. And when that Holy Spirit came and lived within us, it was like a veil had been taken away, because now we could understand the things that he had shared with us from all of Scripture about how his life was necessary, about how his death was necessary, and about how he would be resurrected from the dead. Christ is risen. He is alive. You see, I still had a lot to learn in my life. I didn't get it all once Jesus was risen. I didn't get it all once the Holy Spirit came. I didn't get everything. There were more lessons to come and more things to understand. Particularly the idea that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the fact of a crucified and risen Lord was not just for the Jewish people. It was for every person in the world. And see, all you have to do is know that you're a sinner and that you need the grace of God, and that Jesus Christ paid the price of your sins upon the cross. And then all you've got to do is believe that he did it for you. Even if you had been the only person in the world, he did it for you, that you might be saved. And from there, all it is a simple commitment to say that, yes, I will follow Christ. Will you fail him at times? Oh, yes, you will. I did. But I also remember that wonderful morning. That morning when we had decided, well, Jesus is gone and we haven't seen him in a couple of days. And we were starting to rethink everything. And I just told everybody, I said, you know what? I know how to do the very best thing there is to do. I know how to fish. I'm going fishing today. Anybody want to go with me? And we went fishing. And we didn't catch a single fish. And as we pulled up to the shore that morning, we could see somebody on the shore. They had a fire. They were cooking something. Oh, the wind started coming. Boy, it did smell good. Smells like fish. That's what we've been trying to get all night. We ain't got none. Oh, fish. And then I realized it was Jesus. And I remember his conversation with me that day more than any other day. You see, I had denied him 3 times. But he picked me up out of the miry clay, from the lowest of low, and he redeemed me 3 times that day. He said, Peter, do you love me? And I said, oh, yes, Lord, I do. He said, feed my sheep. And he asked me a second time, Peter, do you love me? And I said, yes, Lord, you know I do. You know all things. He said, feed my lambs. And a third time he asked me, Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know what I've told you 2 times now, and yes, you know I love you. And he said, then feed my sheep. And as I look back on that moment now, it was a moment where he told me, I understand that you denied me 3 times. And I lift you up 3 times that you might know that you are chosen to be part of my kingdom and to be a leader of my sheep. So I'm here to tell you, the Lord is risen. He has risen indeed. The Lord is alive and well and living at the right hand of God now, praying and interceding for us that we might step closer to God. And the Holy Spirit is here to quicken our hearts that we might take a step closer to God. Do you need to do that today? Maybe you need to be redeemed as Peter was three times. Maybe you need to step forward to say, today is the day I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and recognize that He is alive and wants to lead me. Let us pray. Lord, we come to You, knowing that You are the great I Am, knowing that You are able to raise the dead, even Jesus Christ, that He has been resurrected as the first fruits, and that one day, Lord, because we believe in You, that we will be resurrected bodily, just as He was, to stand in Your presence for all eternity. Lord, may the joy of a resurrected Lord encompass us and flow out from us. May we know You better. May we experience You more deeply. And may we take a bigger commitment in what we need to do to live for You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.